take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? It's easy to ignore our needs and spread ourselves too thin. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your Guccifer 3.0 of music news and criticism. I am your host, Ben Ratliff.
If I ain't a millionaire, then my little boy can grow up. If you up ain't about his business, then papa must be a suit. And if you ain't getting money, I don't want to talk to you. Cause how you let a new in the feds out, dude? I'm not politically correct, cause I ain't no politician. I can't hang around none of you new, cause you new might be snitch. But I ain't got a deal with you new. I don't eat with you, but how you just let these bogus sleep?
Did you know about Guccifer 2.0?
Is it back because of the hacks?
But I saw that and I was like, somehow this is related to Gucci Mane.
It probably is. I actually wouldn't be surprised. Internet.
John Caramonica wearing a pre-internet t-shirt. How are you?
It's filmy.
It's filmy.
It's filmy, this t-shirt.
With residue?
No, just, I mean, you know.
With history. Kind
of, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, you can only wear so much history.
We came in on Outdo Ya by Gucci Mane from Gucci Mane's new record, Everybody Looking.
True story.
Today we're going to talk about hip-hop in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Then and now and always.
Pre and post-internet.
Pre and post-internet, yes. The occasion for this is both Gucci Mane's new album.
Yes.
And the fact that you went to visit Gucci Mane fresh out of prison.
Yes. Well, fresh on home confinement.
Fresh, yes. Home from
fresh
prison.
Out of federal prison.
Right. And also the fact that two new youngsters who are related in one way or another to Gucci Mane from Atlanta have just put out new things. Lil Yachty, his mixtape Summer Songs 2, and 21 Savage, Savage Mode.
Yeah, like Gucci has been talking recently about, like, All My Children. You know, he comes out of prison and he just sees Atlanta rap made in his image, or rather remade in his image. I would say these are not children. These are nephews, maybe, like grandnephews, like third cousins. They're in the tree. Like, you know, they share DNA, but they're not as close as maybe some of the other folks that Gucci sees.
But the fact that he's been away for part of the time that they've been developing. Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Is relevant to this story.
Extremely.
Okay, so let's just back up.
Yep.
Gucci Mane, now 35, 36
years old? 36 years old.
He's been out there since the early 2000s. 2005, I think, was the breakthrough, right?
Yeah, 2004, 2005 is when he has two records back-to-back,
right.
One of which is Black Tea, which is a remix, like a street remix of White Tea, which was sort of like a dancey kind of Atlanta rap record.
Right.
And it's Black Tea, it's him and a bunch of other people who are like very well known, and Gucci at that moment is not that well known.
Yeah.
And then there's Icy, which is his big breakthrough single with Young Jeezy. I remember hearing it for the first time in Atlanta in some recording studio where I was down there doing a piece and someone played it. And I just, like, the top of my head exploded because there just wasn't anything that sounded like that.
Really?
Yeah, at the moment it was so strange.
So how do you describe it?
Melodic, but also discordant. It kind of had this exuberance, but it was like very obviously a street record, but it was a weird, fun street record.
Yeah.
And that ended up becoming kind of a Gucci hallmark throughout the later part of the 2000s.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was so unusual. And I remember I was just trying to, like, call people. I was like, who is this guy? Like, where do I find this person? Like, I just remember literally trying to track calling record stores and being like, is there a number? Like, how do I find this guy?
So you're saying that back then when Gucci Mane was really breaking was that he was making street rap, but he was also making it festive. And people weren't doing that before him.
He's festive and quirky. I mean, you got to imagine the mid-2000s we're pre-Jeezy, because this is Jeezy's breakthrough too, I see. But we are, you know, we're sort of maybe in the T.I. moment. And, you know, T.I. is rumbling and big and not dark in a menacing way, but it has like, it's like a rolling black cloud, these big T.I. street records.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, in like 05, 06, 07, Jeezy's going to come and basically with that voice, that gravel kind of sneering voice, is going to really continue to ground Atlanta in street level stuff. And this is even as on the sidelines, there are like Weird Party Records and the Rockstar Records and da da da. But the narrative of the city is going to be this darkness, this dark street stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All that while, Gucci is making mixtapes and one-offs and collaborations that are stranger. And definitely, you don't want to say they're the sideshow act to the T.I. and Jeezy party, but certainly on a mainstream national level, T.I. and Jeezy were shaping American perception of Atlanta rap, and Gucci was a bit of a novelty
so
at that time.
Talk about Gucci Mane's style as a rapper, his control, his flow, his rapping aesthetic.
Here's a guy who is extremely intricate in terms of how he builds and stacks rhymes, but he didn't do it in the way that like those of us who were raised on New York rap like grew to understand how you should rap. Like New York,
yes, because there are rules about this.
Well, so we were taught, you know, so were handed down to me from the Ten, you know, the guy who got the Ten Commandments gave them to us. Oftentimes I find myself writing like New York formalism. And what that really means is like, you know, it's 4-4. It's hard rhymes on the end of bars. It's very straightforward in terms of rhyme patterns.
Yeah, that connotes skill.
Yeah, it's how we've all been taught great rapping should be, or at least from the East Coast perspective. Now, obviously, that's been complicated over the years by the West Coast and the South, but in terms of my traditionalist friends, that's still how they understand skill.
Mm-hmm.
Gucci was always this kind of ecstatic, eccentric, and well, now we know he was high all the time, and he really liked to bend rhyme patterns into unconventional shapes.
Yeah.
And a thing that he does, or did rather, that I liked so much was, you know, like in tetherball, it's like you can sort of throw the ball as far as you can, but it's always going to come right back to the...
Yeah.
There's a sort of tetherball effect to his patterns where he would maybe go off somewhere where it looked like he was walking in the wrong direction, and then he'd like slither and slide back right onto the thing where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never been scared of sort of like almost beating a rhyme into the ground, which I think is fascinating because a lot of times we think like, oh, A's going to rhyme with B and then I'm going to go on to the next pattern. And
yeah.
I think he would just be sort of like lost in this haze,
yeah,
and it would always return to the same assonant structure, the same assonant sound.
Yeah,
and he would do that for bars and bars and bars. And at the time that was happening, he was doing it mostly on mixtape. Occasionally, he would have breakthrough hits. Like in 09, he had a couple of big breakthrough poppier records like Wasted or Lemonade. He was on like Mariah Carey remix. You know, there was a moment when it seemed that Gucci was ascendant. But really, his weirdest and best stuff was always going to be mixtape stuff.
Yeah.
There was this moment as T.I. and Jeezy are in decline, or really Jeezy's sort of in decline and T.I. is like making strange pop records. And Gucci's on the rise, and you're like, well, okay, here's the natural order of things, is that Gucci is now going to become the guy that America understands is, like, the hub of Atlanta rap.
Yeah.
And then he went to jail.
For the last 10 years or so, he's been having kind of a rough time.
Been arrested and jailed at least 10 times that I could find.
10 times.
I mean, there maybe is more, but I like, 10 that I could, like, independently identify. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a variety of charges. Guns, drugs, assault. He, many years ago, it's sort of near the beginning of his run, sort of around 05 in the Icy era, he had a murder charge, but I think it was eventually dismissed because of self-defense reasons. Mm-hmm. He had been attacked and sort of shot back. Nothing else since then has been that serious, but it's sort of been a weird daisy chain of like one thing leading to another, and then there's probation, and then there's violations of probation. Like, it just kept going.
Yeah.
From a distance, this is how it felt, and then when I talked to one of his managers, Todd Moskowitz, it's what Todd said also. It's like every time it seemed that Gucci was about to get hot, like for real get hot, something would happen.
Yeah.
And he'd go to jail.
But
and
the records would still keep pouring out.
Well,
I mean, there's so much Gucci Mane out there. And things would be stockpiled when he was out of jail, right?
If anybody in rap needs like a catalog raisonné, it's Gucci.
Yeah.
Someone should pay someone to do that, because that would just be like a public service if someone sat down and really made that happen. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who records 5, 6, 7, 8 songs in a night at the studio. He's freestyling. He's not writing things down. Seemingly he's high, apparently, based on recent conversations. He's high. He's just recording and recording and recording. And there's hard drives full of material. When I was down in Atlanta, I talked to his engineer, and the engineer was like, look, when he was in jail, I had this hard drive, and he would contact me and say, I want to put out a mixtape this month. And I would go, okay, which songs do you want? And he'd pull up songs, and like, if there were beats, he'd match them, or if there were not beats, he'd find beats and put them together.
Was that somewhat unusual for like major league rappers of his time?
It was just starting to go in that direction.
Because, you know, like, I think about, from what I've read, like, that's the way Young Thug works.
Yes, very much so.
So now maybe it's more common.
I think the first time we ever really heard about a rapper not writing stuff down, we would hear about Jay. And a little bit before that, we'd hear about Biggie not writing stuff down. There's obviously not, like, a huge
trick. Although with them, the trick was, it seems like it's written down, but
that's
it's not.
The thing. Right. This is the thing.
But with this, no, it's clear it's not.
Right. So there are two shifts that happen. One is the shift to the Jay-Z model, which is I'm completely focused on penning a flawless verse, but it's all in my head. You know, you hear stories of people who watch Jay in the studio and they're just playing the beat over and over and over again. And like he's figuring out like a calculus equation in his head. And then he's like, OK, I got it. And then he goes in and drops it. And it sounds like it was written, you know, and he had like a month to work on it. Basically what happened in the 1.0 of the internet / mixtape era is that certain artists, Gucci being one of them, Wayne just before him, and like Dipset by extension, realizing that volume of material actually sort of had a value of its own. And so recording at this prodigious clip and continuing to flood the market actually didn't diminish your celebrity or your appeal. What it did is it filled this vast distribution channel that all of a sudden had materialized. So you could just continue to put more and more records out. And it's not like people went to the store and were like, ugh, another Gucci. I have to spend $16 for this.
Right.
It's just there. It's just more and more. And it's just there. And if you are into that person, you're going to keep grabbing. And it's going to spread further and further.
Right.
So Gucci's sort of in, I wouldn't say the 1.0 of that. He's maybe the 1.1 of that. I feel like Wayne is probably the real 1.0 of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, in their own ways. G-Unit, which is sort of pre-internet distribution, and Dipset, which kind of like is right on the cusp.
Mm-hmm.
So Gucci leaves this incredible body of work. Every time he goes to jail, there's always more Gucci records that come out. So strangely, if you're paying attention to Gucci and you didn't know he was in jail, you maybe wouldn't even know he was in jail, because they keep putting records out.
Okay, well, so let me ask you about Gucci now.
Yeah.
The music on this record, Everybody Looking, how much of it has been done since he got out?
All of it. Recorded in 6 days since he got released to home confinement. Half of the songs were written while he was in prison.
Yeah.
He returned to writing, because obviously you can't record anything in prison.
Sure.
So he returned to writing. So when I went to his house, there's a wall in his studio that's all songs written on legal paper that he had written in prison, folded up, mailed to his girlfriend, and said, hold these for me.
So this is a new way of working.
For him.
Right.
And then half of the songs are either some part that was written previously with new stuff, or written post, or in a couple cases freestyle.
Okay.
But I will say Everybody Looking is, it's probably, to my ear, it's a relatively stiff Gucci record. I feel like the songs feel really well structured, which has not always been Gucci's hallmark.
Yeah.
The question really becomes, do you want that from Gucci? That's sort of the open question. Like, I'm personally more excited about the weirder Gucci records.
Yeah. I remember having this conversation, a very similar conversation with you about Lil Wayne, actually.
Yeah. You hate to be like, oh, well, the stuff when you were a weirdo drug addict, that's the magic. You don't want to say that.
Mm.
But my hope is that Gucci gets as comfortable freestyling now that he's sober, and then can go back to accessing that part of his brain.
Yeah.
Because I think that part of his brain is still there. And there's at least one song, maybe two songs on the new record that really, really show it off.
Yeah.
And when he kind of alights upon a weird structure, it's an exuberant feeling.
Right.
The songs that are like the singles, quote unquote, off this record. And it's tough to say singles because he's put out six videos maybe or seven videos. Like, who knows what's being worked to radio? And even he describes it as a he's basically like, this is not my radio album. Like, he's just like, this is just something because, like, the people needed to know I was home. But the singles are, like, very structured. You know, like, they're very structured songs.
Right.
And they're a lot of fun, and they have attitude, especially the stuff that was written in prison is dark. Like, First Day Out the Feds has these real dark moments. And they're funny. You know, Outdo You, which we came in on, is, you know, him being like, I've been in prison, I've made more money than you have. Like, right. What are you guys doing out
now,
here?
So, but you certainly, you know what he was like in earlier days. I don't know how much you've actually
I'd only previously interviewed him when he was in jail in 2010, I think, when was basically right after he was about to be popping and then went to jail.
Yes. And that was on the phone, right?
It was a phone error. And the label had sort of put together the state versus Roderick Davis.
Yeah.
And then I did a piece where I talked to him on the phone, but I also talked to the four main producers who had kind of like built that record from scratch.
But do you recognize anything new and improved about him?
Oh my God. Well, this is,
he's looking good. He's looking really good.
It's hard to overstate the degree of transformation of Gucci right now. And that seems to be both physical, spiritual, mental. I don't think it's musical because I still think he's, in his heart, he's making similar music.
Yeah.
But like when I was talking to Todd Moskowitz, he was like, the first meeting I ever took with Gucci Mane, he like came in and he's like, I had this huge office and he sat in the chair farthest corner away from my desk and didn't look me in the eye the whole time. You know, Gucci was sort of like an imposing, I don't want to say unfriendly because I wasn't his friend or not his friend, but you know, had a reputation as like maybe not the warmest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And then you see him and he's been very active on Snapchat and on Instagram since he got out. It has all the sort of hallmarks of like what we would normally think of as like a religious rebirth or a like a rebaptism of
sorts. Well, yeah. I suppose it's not just that he's clean too. He's a little older.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like,
I think
he's got a different role to fulfill, and I'm sure he's just feeling differently.
I think also, you know, he said something to me where he was like, look, you know, this case, I think there was a chance he could have gotten a much longer sentence and was negotiated down to whatever sentence he got, two and a half years in this most recent federal case. I think he realized that if he had gotten 10 years, he'd have been coming home at 42 or 43, and basically that's it.
Yeah.
Then you're just a guy who lives in the suburbs with your wife.
Yeah, sure.
Or not. Maybe she doesn't stick around. You know, so I think he realizes that he actually has a chance to be relevant and to be central to the conversation. And I imagine, here's a guy who paid as close attention to contemporary rap music as you can from a federal prison.
Yeah.
I think he looks around and is like, this is me.
Right.
All these guys, they care about me.
Right.
And I think that's been revealed, whether it's the success of Young Thug or on this record, the fact that the guests are Thug, Kanye, and Drake. I mean, Kanye and Drake are the two most important pop rappers of the last decade, and they both show up for this Gucci Mane record.
We should mention that Gucci Mane just did a big show in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
How many days ago?
This is 5 days ago.
Okay.
Last Friday on album release day.
And Drake
showed up.
Drake was there.
In fact,
sort of started to almost MC the thing at a certain point.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, now, you know, let us always be clear that, you know, Drake will always be in the place that will make it clear that he is the forward-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Drake will, like, take fly from his tour, which he was on. Like, that tour started 2 days earlier or 3 days earlier, whenever I was in Texas. I guess it was 2 or 3 days before that in the Austin stop. Go to Atlanta on an off night of the tour, and I assume take no money, but just to be the guy who was at the Gucci Mane come home, you know,
sure,
return show. Like, but that's indicative of both Drake's kind of incredibly savvy mercenary approach, but also to how actually important this return is of Gucci.
Okay, so let's make the jump from Gucci Mane to Lil Yachty.
Yeah. Should we play some Lil Yachty?
Yes, we should. So from Lil Yachty's second mixtape of the year, is that right?
Yes.
Summer Songs 2, let's hear King of Teens.
Down low, ball to the king of the teens. Down low, ball to the king of the teens. My bitch rolling off a beam, she the one who told my stain. Damn, little ball to the king of the teens. How'd you do it? That's
That's the question that they ask. Parents mad at my ass, cause they kids sing my song in class. Well, well, I'm at the front like doorbells. And shout out to my gang, cause my gang stayed the same. Young bro, I'm the king of the scene.
Lil Yachty, young man from Atlanta, not 20 yet, is that right?
Can we get like an autotune effect on our voice?
I would love that.
Okay, we'll file that away if we can maybe do the next segment in Yachty voice. Yachty voice!
Yachty is a rapper and, as he likes to say, a singer and much else. I think from the start, even before he recorded anything, he had an idea of himself as somebody who was multi-platform.
Oh my God, he's a vibe. Like, and this is the thing, and this is something that you really couldn't do in the 80s or 90s, but like he invented his character, like from the look to the sound to the sort of naive narrative, yeah. All of that stuff. It's not like one followed the other.
Yes.
It was just boom.
Okay, let's just step back and explain. Mm-hmm. Lil Yachty, what is he, 18 or 19?
I think he might be 19.
Okay. Though. He has two different rapping personas.
Yeah, Yachty and Lil Boat.
One is Lil Yachty, one is Lil Boat.
Lil Boat.
And the differences between them?
Oh, who the hell knows? I'm sure he has some answer for that, but like I don't think it's – whatever his answer is probably not that good an answer.
His records are – colorful, playful, funny.
Yeah, they're like children's movies. They're like Raffy and the Trap.
They're all over the place. They have a lot of that Gucci Mane improvisational quality.
Yep.
As
and
you say,
melodic eccentric. Like this is the thing. Like a thing that Gucci was always good at was he would take tough talk, street talk, yeah. Drug talk, gun talk, whatever it is, and he's rendering it with like kind of a snicker. I wouldn't even say a wink. But a little bit of a tee-hee,
yeah.
And whether the tee-hee is in the words he's choosing or the melody he's putting it to, there's always something a little bit off about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yachty is just like, I'm just going to take that part.
Okay.
I'm only going to take the off part, and sure. Like I'm building a whole thing on top of it.
Yeah. Talk about Lil Yachty as like an exemplar of vibe, but also of not just internet hip-hop, mm-hmm. but internet aesthetic hip-hop.
Yeah. Well, okay, so obviously, one of the things that Lil Yachty's been super good at is giving interviews. Because Lil Yachty, he's like a little bit of a strange kid. You know, he has this very particular look. He has a very particular approach to his music and his personal aesthetic. And an interview that he gave that really stuck out in my mind was one to V-Files. V-Files is a fashion house / retail store / incubator of post-modern fashion downtown. And they do this interview series called TMIs. And they're real simple. They're just like, it's 2 minutes of like a famous or a strange person talking about a thing. And they did a TMI with Lil Yachty, and he's literally like, this was my goal. My goal was to be interviewed by V. Like, that was his goal. Yeah. His goal wasn't to be on the cover of XXL, which he is now on the freshman cover. Mm. His goal wasn't to be like in a studio with Nas or whatever. Like, his goal was to do a V. And that just lets you know of like how the internet has shaped a certain segment of hip-hop
sure.
in the mid-2010s.
He's savvy. He's a realist. Also, no classicist.
No, but also understanding that that is as valid a path.
Sure, absolutely.
Because the fact that he can go that route and still circle back and be on the cover of XXL, that's new.
So
that couldn't happen even 2 years ago.
There's a track on Summer Songs 2 called For Hot 97.
Yes.
It's not actually about acceptance by Hot 97. That's just the title.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it sort of is.
It started in a somewhat interesting conversation on Hot 97 involving Ebro.
Yeah.
Ebro, the DJ, was scolding Lil Yachty a little bit by saying, look, step it up. You know, be better.
Yeah, have bars.
Yes, be better. And I wondered,
I was falling asleep. That line of thought was putting me to sleep.
Is the point that he's already there? Like, this is him. It's not a question of he's got a ways to go and he will get better.
Right.
This is what he's trying to do.
Right, but there is, like, two things. One, like, Ebro has this sort of, like, recurring habit, especially with Southern artists, of basically being like, look, young man, you need to rap these raps. These raps is important. And, you know, Ebro presents himself as like, he's the old guy of rap. And it's like, sure, I guess that's like a marketable persona or whatnot.
Somebody's got to tell these
kids.
Yeah,
he's like mad at Ray Schremmerd that's a ridiculous thing. Like, Race Remnant had one of the best rap albums last year. It's so for you to be mad at them and tell them to like step their bars up, it's kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
And it's purposely missing the point. Now it's but it's a provocation. Now the thing that bums me out about this For Hot 97 song is like Lil Yachty rises to the bait and like tries to rap on this song, like really rap. And I would venture to say that that is not his natural gift. It's okay, but it's a weird it's like in an album that's mostly like floaty and spacey and highly, highly digitally manipulated.
Yeah.
And
a lot of falsetto
weird,
singing,
yeah,
too.
Like, I mean, in my piece, I compare him to Bon Iver. I mean, there's moments, mm-hmm. I mean, there's moments that are straight Bon Iver. It's very weird. It's like real street corner Bon Iver stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In an album full of that, to just sort of be like, oh, and I have some bars too. It's like, come on, man, you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he doesn't have to do that is because he showed up fully formed.
Yeah.
He showed up. And he was just like, no, look at my thing. Look at my hair. Look at my clothes. Look at my persona. It's all here. I'm on V-Files and XXL. Who cares what Ebro thinks?
So you're not in the mood to point at him and say there's some shortcomings here.
There may be shortcomings, but I don't think that's the shortcoming.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't think that like all of rap should be on some one long continuum of like fewer like so-so bars to great bars.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's – I think we've abandoned that certainly in the last 5 years, but you know, in the last 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not
– Standards, John.
What
happened to standards?
Shout out to all my conservative rap friends who are still in the trenches, you know, with their formalism. Like I care about that stuff. Like I grew up on that stuff. But one of the things that I like to think is essential to any good critic is you do not evaluate the music of the day by your taste of a prior day.
Yeah.
That is actually a complete waste of energy. And to all the people, like, you know, there'll be people on Twitter who, you know, will take shots at someone like Yachty or someone like me for thinking Yachty is worth serious consideration. Those are people who are living probably in their basements from 1996. And if that's your only framework through which you look at rap music, then sure, something like Yachty is going to be an aberration to you.
Yeah, well,
but if you're paying close attention, you see that he's the logical end result of the last 10 to 15 years of what's been happening in Atlanta, which is a city that, frankly, is way more important in the last 10 to 15 years than anything that's happening in New York.
Yeah. Well, it's safe down there in the
basement. Shout out to A Boogie, though.
Let's bring 21 Savage into the picture. And
this,
before we do, maybe we should hear a little bit of 21 Savage.
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever's not censored.
So let's try. Let's try and make this work.
Yeah.
A little bit of No Heart by 21 Savage.
Young Savage, why you trapping so hard? Why do you get capping so hard? Why you got a 12-car garage? Why you pulling out these rappers' cars? In a heart.
Drown.
I turn it up south into some heart. I grew up in the streets without no heart. I'm praying to my Glock and my car. I sit back and read like head in the head. 21 Savage, the cat with the mat. 21 Savage, not boys in the
head. He hisses.
Yeah.
He hisses. I actually had hiss 3 times on my piece. And I tend to take 2 of them out. Because I kept trying to describe what he's doing. And like, that's the word. He hisses.
So take a deep breath, re-enter the world with all its charm and lightness.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 21 Savage. New mixtape is called Savage Mode.
So Savage Mode is a collaboration, 21 Savage and Metro Boomin. Metro Boomin's a producer who is best known recently for the work that he's done with Future and on the Future and Drake collaborative record. And when you think of Metro Boomin songs, they're big. And you think of these big Boomin anthems that are propulsive. And then he shows up on this record and everything is like low groans and like not slow, but like a little bit slower than these other records. And they really slide up on you. They remind me in tempo of like sort of like early Bay Area, like almost like mob music era Bay Area stuff,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like 90, 91. Like these are songs that are creeping on you, and that is extremely deliberate because what 21 Savage is, his proposition is menace, it's violence, it's lewdness, it's all of those things.
Or so are you saying this is a different style of New Atlanta?
It's almost the polar opposite.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that Atlanta has gotten to this point where 2 things. One, it's big enough to sustain a guy like Yachty
and a guy like 21 Savage at the same time. Although obviously cities have multitudes, it's always gonna be like that, but these are pretty far apart.
Yeah.
Number two, in a weird way, Yachty is the more popular of the two, even though they're both on the XXL Freshman cover and they both have videos on YouTube that have like multiple millions of views. But like Yachty is the one who's like maybe a little bit better known. And that inversion of the traditional rap narrative where it's like, hey, actually the weird guy, that's the guy who's known. And 21 Savage was like, oh, the traditional hard rock narrative.
The traditional tough guy.
Yeah, like he's actually sort of like fighting for life.
Yeah.
That's new or newish.
Hasn't your argument recently been that we're in this post-regional era in hip hop? You've pointed out how that's true for some New York people. Is that also true for Atlanta people?
It's
or does Atlanta have more regionalism, maybe of different kinds, but more regionalism than other cities?
I think part of what's happened in New York and other cities in this sort of post-regional era is it's not so much that it's as much rather that the sound is changing as it is that the history is being forgotten. So those are two things that are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
History is being ignored, and then the sound is evolving because the internet affords you access to all this other stuff. I think what you're seeing in Atlanta is maybe different than what you're seeing in, say, Los Angeles. Los Angeles's response to this has been, actually, we're just going to continue to make records now that sound like Los Angeles in 1992.
Yeah.
These YG records, these Schoolboy Q records, these Kendrick records to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Kendrick is like a weird intersection of NWA and Freestyle Fellowship. You know, YG is making straight, like MC Ren records, basically.
Yeah.
Atlanta, because so much happens in Atlanta, and Atlanta is not burdened with specific history. If you're an LA rapper, you're kind of always under the specter of NWA and Dr. Dre and Snoop.
Sure.
In Atlanta, you could theoretically be under the specter of like Outkast and Goody Mob.
Yeah.
You could be. But Atlanta moves so fast and there's so much music that gets made there that I think the fragmentation there has actually been much more significant and afforded options for a whole range of people with a whole range of approaches.
I hear a little bit of Andre in Lil Yachty, but I think maybe that just has more to do with the timbre of his voice, you know, whatever, than of actual phrasing and style.
You know, look, Yachty's a kid who was raised in Atlanta. You know, he sounds like where he's from.
Can't escape it, I guess. But I mean, if we look at Lil Yachty and we look at 21 Savage, is one of them, you think, more history minded than the other? And are you going to give me a surprising answer?
Yeah, Yachty's more history minded.
And why?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to give me that surprising answer.
Serve me up. Serve me these fatties. Of course, I'm going to knock them out the
park. We didn't talk about this one before.
No. Mm-hmm. When you listen to 21 Savage, it feels radical. And it feels radical because it's disconnected from almost everything else that's happening around it musically, which isn't to say there's not other street rap coming out of Atlanta. There's not other, you know, other rappers who are flouting, you know, their gang affiliations who are also rapping.
Yeah.
But you can draw a line from Yachty. You draw a line from Yachty back to Thug. You draw a line from Thug back to Gucci. Like, Yachty is very, very clearly in the current lineage of Gucci's family tree.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly in that lineage. Mm-hmm. 21 Savage feels like maybe the first salvo of a pushback. And I remember, like, I went down to Atlanta maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I was doing a piece on sort of, it turned out to be basically about, like, Travis Porter and kind of, like, teen and post-teen strip club rap. Exuberant party stuff. And I remember there's a part of that piece where I was like, okay, so this is kind of what's happening in Atlanta right now. But then there's this kind of, like, alternate thing, which is, like, it's Trouble and Alley Boy and Duct Tape Entertainment and those guys. And these guys are making street rap. And maybe it's a retort to this mainstream rap stuff. You know, this is like early, early Future stuff, like before Future really became a thing. Maybe it's a retort to that. Maybe there's always going to be like 5 or 10% of the scene that's just going to be that. But that stuff kind of never went anywhere. It didn't explode in a big way. I mean, I think Trouble and Alley Boy especially have both had very, very good songs. But they weren't necessarily media savvy, or they didn't put themselves out there in a way. Whereas something about 21 Savage, there's something kind of affable about him. You watch interviews with him, and I wouldn't say he's funny, but I don't know. There's a sort of a companionable energy to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helped in this internet media environment where, like, part of the way that you find a guy is you don't just hear his record on SoundCloud, but you're also watching a video that he does with XXL or DJ Vlad or whatnot.
Sure.
He's good in those settings and better in those settings, frankly, than some of the other guys who have done similar stuff who theoretically should be the guys who are naturals in those settings.
Right.
So you listen to 21 Savage and you're like, this music doesn't sound like a bunch of this other stuff that we've become acclimated to. You know, it doesn't sound like a Young Thug record. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like any of that stuff. That feels like the more ahistorical one. Mm-hmm. Also, Atlanta Street Rap, his record feels closer to what I think of as traditional New York or East Coast street rap, structurally or whatnot. I think his delivery, he uses a lot of like short clip phrases, when that feels very Southern. But in terms of like structures and approaches, bigger picture, he feels a little bit more East Coast to me, maybe, than sort of what we think of as Atlanta street rap.
Back to Lil Yachty for one second. What about Lil Yachty's crew, sailing team? Is there hope there?
There are a couple of guys. There's like a bunch of the guests. A bunch of the guests on Summer Song 2 are from the crew. There were a couple of folks that stood out to me as maybe being something. But part of the challenge, it's like Yachty is so singular.
Yeah.
It's a little strange. Like the idea that you have a guy under him or a woman under him.
Yeah.
Which could happen. Who is so singular on top of, like, sort of is a singular answer to Yachty's singular approach, feels maybe unlikely at the moment. It's not to say it can't happen, but I feel like we're not there yet.
So you feel like he's sort of just doing this because it's fun. It's almost like he's...
It's magic.
It's almost like he's drawing characters.
Yeah, what's the children's book?
Harold and the Purple Crayon.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
Yo. Let's go out on that.
Let's go out with one more Lil Yachty song.
Please.
From Summer Songs 2, Dipset.
Stunner, get stunned on. You never been fronted on. Bet the little bitch gon' sing every song. Bet the little bitch coming right up on her tongue. Yeah, whoa, damn, damn. They do it all on the camera phone. Never discriminate on skin tone. Chopper gon' sing like a Kim song. Can't fuck around with these ding-dongs. I need like 10 for a sing-along.
That's Dipset from Lil Yachty. It's been a pleasure talking to you, John Caramonica.
One of my few pleasures.
And you can read John's pieces about Gucci Mane and also about 21 Savage and Lil Yachty, two separate pieces, at nytimes.com/music. Our producer is Jocelyn Gonzalez, and you can hear this and all other episodes of Popcast at nytimes.com/popcast.
Go do that.
And we will see you next week.
They don't want to open doors, so we had to kick it in. Ride around in a coupe with no cylinder.